This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Okay, Randall, it's your turn. Go ahead.
Well, Gene, you might be able to help me out with this as well, because like poltergeists and hauntings aren't my specialty, but it seems to me that there was another case, I think it was back in the 70s, where there was a woman who claimed to be followed around by some sort of a malicious entity, and she would move to a completely different city and it would start there again as well. So there seems to be this connection between poltergeists and hauntings and certain people where they follow them around.
You know, I'm not a big expert on poltergeists. You know, I think of some of these movies where weird things were going on, Amityville Horror, stuff like that, based on a real event.
Highly dramatized real events.
Oh, well, you know, definitely.
But
you know.
Still, I mean, I've experienced strange phenomena that would fit the description of some sort of a poltergeist activity. So people definitely have these kinds of experiences. Of what the cause of them is, I don't know for sure, but what do you think, Lewis? Are we talking, are we actually dealing with the people in some sort of an afterlife, or are we dealing with something else?
Well, you know, once again, I think it comes back to the, you know, the subconscious mind. And I mean, this is the leading theory, is that it's recurrent spontaneous psychokinesis. You know, essentially, as I said, it's that person needing to vent all of that anger and frustration was in the subconscious. They need to kind of externalize that energy, if you like. I mean, there are cases that do seem to indicate some kind of, I suppose, intelligence or that seems to be kind of independent of that person's mind, you know, and that sort of, that ties into, of course, the, you know, various spirit theories and that kind of thing. And that's a theory, of course, that Colin Wilson, the British paranormal expert, subscribed to. And he talked about, you know, he basically linked poltergeistry to spiritualism, or spiritism as well, which was kind of a French version that then later spread to Brazil, is apparently quite even popular to this day. But, you know, he was basically saying that maybe what happens is the teenager tends to be a teenager, of course, maybe they're leaking energy. And then some entity, some kind of vampiric entity, then latches onto that person and essentially, you know, sort of uses that energy as sustenance, and then, of course, also uses the energy to create the disturbances themselves, the, you know, the psychokinetic effects and so on. So that really kind of, that's really what the spirit hypothesis suggests. But, you know, once again, I kind of lean more towards the subconscious mind theory, simply because I think it's, well, it's got a little bit more credibility, I suppose. And we don't have to necessarily theorize that there are, you know, spirits and that kind of thing. And certainly, too, that it doesn't seem to be, you know, even if they are spirits or entities, certainly they don't seem to be the spirits of the deceased. You know, if we look at the claims of mediumship, where, you know, supposedly some kind of deceased person speaks through a medium, you know, there's really very little convincing evidence that it is actually that person who is communicating. Once again, as I said, I lean more towards the subconscious theory, the RSPK theory.
That seems to make more sense to me than the idea that there is actually some sort of an afterlife, because I can't figure out how that is in any way even possible.
Yeah.
You know, the best I can come up with is that maybe if this is some sort of a multiverse and mm-hmm. that it's created by some sort of a simulation, that there is some sort of a buffer that could hypothetically store all of our information that makes this reality, including us, our information. But then at best, then what you still end up with in an afterlife is reconstituting that person out of that information, which would make them a copy and not the original. So, but I mean, I suppose, you know, if you want to prepare to, you know, give your, if there is such a thing as an afterlife, your copy the best afterlife possible, then I suppose maybe we should still try to do better in this life so that our copy can have a better life in the next world. I'm not sure.
Yeah, but, you know, even to, let's say it is related to other universes, etc., you know, possibly it could be entities kind of pretending to be the spirits of the dead as well. I mean, the Muslims, the Arabs, they talk about, of course, as I said, these entities called jinn, and they say that they're basically kind of trickster entities. They like to kind of fool with people and manipulate people, etc. You know, and that's what I think is probably happening in the case of mediumship, where something comes through, pretends to be, you know, this person's deceased uncle or their grandfather or whatever. You know, possibly it could be some kind of entity that's simply taking on the guise of a deceased person in order to, simply because they're inherently kind of manipulative, you know, trickster type beings and that sort of thing. So, you know, once again, so it could have another dimensional origin, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we're dealing with the spirits of the dead. You know, certainly there's no kind of compelling evidence that there isn't necessarily an afterlife, or certainly not in the way that we conceive of it anyway.
I like the way you think there, though. I really do, because say if we're dealing with, okay, so let's just say if we call it the jinn, if that's some sort of an entity and it's not really from our particular level of reality or universe, we're still talking about some kind of an alien. Or maybe we are talking about actual aliens from some other universe, and that's just a name they were given in history, and they're here studying us, and so they project these images out to us in these various kinds of phenomena just to study our psychology. You know, because we can make it look like Michael Jackson is on stage with Frank Sinatra now if we want to. And they look real, three-dimensional, holographic projections. So if you were to do that to someone 50 or 100 years ago, what are they going to think? They're going to think that that's my dead grandmother. I see her. I recognize her. There's an afterlife. She's still alive. Of course, that's what those people are going to think. They're not going to have any clue that maybe they're being manipulated by some third party. I think you might be onto something there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's a interesting take on it. And, you know, you're talking about them, you know, studying our psychology. Perhaps, too, you know, it's got to do with perhaps too, they're also kind of feeding off our emotions, our energy as well. You know, there could be some kind of vampiric aspect to this as well. You know, maybe it's a way for them to harvest energy, if you like. You know, possibly we're a source of sustenance to these beings as well. I mean, there could be some kind of cosmic.
That's kind of like what studying someone psychologically would be like. You're getting information from them. You're using their life experience to enhance your own. It's just done in a way that's more easily understandable in objective terms rather than putting it into the realm of some sort of mysticism.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think we're sort of getting at the same thing here, probably just from slightly, you know, different angles. But yeah, there does seem to be kind of an exploitative aspect to the UFO phenomenon, to spiritualism, etc. You know, so humans kind of seem to be the fools, I suppose.
Exploitative. Yeah, that's actually the perfect word for it, isn't it? Because whether it's UFOs or ghosts or what have you, it always manages to stay just out of range, but still enough that we have to say, yes, we've had these experiences. People definitely have had these experiences, but we don't know what they are, and we're not able to get the verifiable, scientifically valid material evidence to prove one way or the other exactly what they are.
We've got more to come with Randall Lewis and Jean, you're in the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start Program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
If you feel you've been lied to, pressured, or misled into buying your timeshare, you have the right to cancel completely. This is Steve Sanchez, and I'd like to introduce you to Wesley Financial Group, the leading top-rated timeshare cancellation company in the country. That's right, no more excessive fees or lifetime commitments that make you feel like you're serving a prison sentence. Founded by CEO Chuck McDowell, a pioneer in the industry, who went into federal court and won against the largest timeshare resort company in the world just to help you get out of your timeshare. Too good to be true? No. Countless testimonials and the highest ratings from the Better Business Bureau make Wesley Financial Group the real deal, and their money-back guarantee they put in writing makes them the Steve Sanchez choice for successfully canceling your timeshare guarantee. To get their free information kit, call 1-800-475-1919. That's 1-800-475-1919, or visit them at timesharecancellations.com. That's 1-800-475-1919.
All across the country, people are coming together to speed up what we can learn about health. The All of Us Research Program is calling on 1 million people to join us as we try to change the future of health. For your family, for future generations, for all of us. Visit joinallofus.org and find out how you can become one in a million.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
You're sounding like a robot, Randall. Why are you sounding like a robot?
I just do.
Shall we continue?
Well, you've got another book coming out too. Volume one looks like it's definitely going to be a good read. So what have you got for plans for volume two?
Yes, I'm currently doing research for volume two. You know, I'm going to be looking more at, you know, various multiverse theories, and sort of try and flesh that out a little bit, because it's something I touch on in volume one, but I haven't sort of fully explored that possibility. And I'm also going to be looking at mysterious, disappearances as well. That's another thing that I'm going to be focusing on. So yeah, it's very much a work in progress. It's possible too that there will be volume three. So I kind of want to continue on from where I left off in volume one, you know, with volume two. So we'll see where it takes me. It's, you know, it's very much a journey that I'm on, and I'm not too sure exactly what's going to be in volume two, but we'll see what happens.
Well, we've got a good start to it then, with some of the talk we've had on this show, because, this whole idea of multiverses and intersecting planes of reality, this is really quite fascinating for me. And as you've mentioned, even philosophers and scientists are taking this very seriously now. If you've seen the Isaac Asimov Memorial Debate hosted by Neil deGrasse Tyson, who's one of the biggest skeptics out there, he's got a panel of physicists and philosophers who are serious intellectuals who are really seriously thinking that this could be the case, that we are living in some sort of a simulation.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm surprised. I mean, I'm amazed that, we have people like that. And also, I think there's a few others who quite famous intellectuals who, sort of do subscribe to the simulation hypothesis. I mean, that's basically stating that we're living in a, that we could be living in some kind of giant hologram, that kind of thing. I would say probably more likely, I'm not too sure about that theory, because they're really sort of, really kind of comparing, you know, this reality to, to some kind of computer simulation. So they're really saying that it's a completely artificial type of reality that we're in. It's an interesting idea, but I would probably lean more towards the theory that's, you know, that there's just, you know, many, many different universes, different realities interacting, intersecting, etc. You know, so I'm not too sure about the simulation hypothesis as such. But certainly the very fact that they're open to those ideas is very telling. I mean, it really shows that, these great minds are beginning to really sort of question the very nature or fabric of our reality, you know. And I think it's amazing that we've come to that point where even people like that are willing to kind of entertain these ideas. These are no longer kind of fringe ideas anymore. It's kind of like these ideas are kind of mainstream almost, you know. So I think that's fascinating that we've come to this point.
Well, yeah, especially when you get looking at some of the computational cosmology simulations that they're doing with these large supercomputers now. You can see galaxy interactions, and where they've got hundreds of thousands of bits that make up each galaxy, and they can predict how they're going to collide and interact. It's like, well, who's to say that in, you know, a couple of thousand years we wouldn't have the computing power to be able to put together a reality, a construct, say, not call it a simulation, but call it a constructed reality that would be indistinguishable from the one that we live in now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and maybe we'll, inhabit or populate that universe or reality, with beings like ourselves, and run some kind of experiment on them.
Like that. Well, we're already doing that with, I think there's the Brain Project, where they've actually mapped out every neuron in the human brain in order to study it for medical reasons, in order to track how the progress of different diseases and find cures. So it's just a matter of time, really, in my view, before something like this actually happens.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But what are you focusing on now? Like, are you just are you doing any talks or presentations, or mostly just radio interviews, that sort of thing? Or
yeah, so I mean, I've been giving a whole series of interviews on borderland phenomena. So doing quite a few of those, but I'm, I'm not actually really doing any writing at the moment. I'm taking a little bit of a break from writing. You know, I find that after writing a book, after working on a long project like that, you know, one tends to feel quite exhausted. I will be making a trip to Florida in a couple of months. I'm going to be there. I'm actually going to go visit the apartment where Mary Heidi Reeser died from SHC. So that's going to be interesting. I'm going to be making my first trip to America shortly. So yeah, I will be in Florida for around 10 days. And as I said, I'm sort of loosely researching, you know, some of these topics involving multiverses, etc. But yeah, I haven't actually started work on the book itself just yet. You know, I haven't started doing any writing. As I said, I like to kind of disengage from these kind of topics for a little, you know, take a little bit of a break and focus on other things for a while. I'm also, you know, I do a lot of like model making as well. So I'm actually constructing a model boat at the moment. So, and stuff like that, you know, so I have other interests. A lot of people think I'm only interested in paranormal phenomena, which is not necessarily the case. So I have a broad range of interests. And, yeah, you know, so I'm also focusing on drafting at the moment too. I've just sort of having a career change. So I was previously working in customer service, and I thought, well, I want to do something different. It's interesting too, because the drafting that I'm doing, of course, you know, it's involves geometry. Which is another thing that I'm going to be discussing in the next book as well, you know, sort of looking at, other realities. I mean, you know, like, for example, you know, what's referred to as the fourth dimension and that sort of thing. Of course, that's also equated to time. Of course, we experience time passively, but there could be beings in other dimensions that have a better grasp. Well, they could be inhabiting the fifth dimension, for example. So for them, the fourth dimension isn't time necessarily. It's something that they can perceive directly. It's not something that they experience passively as we do. So that's another thing I really want to kind of get involved in as well and explore in the next volume of Borderland Phenomena.
I'm going to say this, which is probably not funny. Mm-hmm. The only way to get someone to return to the fifth dimension is to get them to say their name backwards.
Right.
I don't know if any of you know that connection from the comic books. You don't. Okay. Okay, the guy's name is Mixes Pitlick, and was a character in the Superman comics that was a mischievous kind of person with superpowers. See, it doesn't make sense. Lewis, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state, until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
President Trump has signed legislation that permanently reauthorizes a program that helps buy bulletproof vests for police officers. Vermont Senator Patrick Leahy came up with the program after four officers were killed in 1997. President Trump is mulling pardons. He's saying that he's going to hold off on making decisions about pardons for American troops that were accused by the military of war crimes.
It's a little bit controversial. It's very possible that I'll let the trials go on and I'll make my decision after the trial.
The most prominent of those, Navy SEAL Edward Gallagher. He's set to stand trial for shooting unarmed civilians and killing an enemy prisoner in Iraq. Presidential candidate Pete Buttigieg served in Afghanistan as a naval reservist.
It's disgusting. An affront to the basic idea of good order and discipline and the very thing that we believe we're putting our lives on the line to defend.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Got an old car? You can donate it, whether it's running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation and save a life. They'll even come and pick it up for free. The United Breast Cancer Foundation has saved hundreds of women's lives through their free or low-cost breast screen exams. But now they need your help. The United Breast Cancer Foundation wants to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car, SUV, or truck, whether it's running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Help the United Breast Cancer Foundation save lives by donating your old car, SUV, or truck. Call now for free pickup. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. Call right now. That number again is 800-280-2144.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's Dr. Sonia Baccia on The Doctors.
So this is a product we're going to see if it works. It's called Instantly Ageless. And the idea is that it works very quickly. Is you just need a very small amount. And then you apply it to areas where you might be a little bit puffy. I have just looked at what's in this product. And one of them is something called Argireline, which is sort of a darling in dermatology right now. It's a peptide or a protein that actually relaxes the muscle. It's also called Botox in a bottle. The other active ingredient in this is silicates, which are almost act like a clay. They're minerals, and they're making the skin sort of tighter. It's actually increasing the surface tension on the skin to push that herniated fat pad back.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com.
Hi, this is Joshua P. Warren, author of The Poor Man's Paranormal, and you're listening to The Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
I was hoping here that Randall would say the name The Paracast backwards. Talking seriously about the multiverse and stuff, Lewis Proud, and this is always interesting. Some envision a multiverse where each dimension, as it were, has our counterpart. There's a Gene Steinberg there, heaven forbid. There's a Lewis Proud. There's a J. Randall Murphy, et cetera, et cetera. What do you think?
I know that there's a theory that other universes are always splitting off, you know, at various moments. So they could be, for example, you know, if we look at just flipping a coin, for example, this theory states, if in this universe we get the result of it landing, you know, if you get heads, for example, then there's going to be another universe where it's tails, that kind of thing. So the theory is that, yeah, universe is splitting off at all these various moments. So there's basically just like an infinite number of universes where things have played out differently. So that would say that, you know, that would indicate that there are other versions of me, for example. You know, there could be a version of me where one particular point in my life, instead of taking one path, I took a different path, and my life could be completely different. So I think that's really interesting. I know that it was developed by it was Hugh Everett III who came up with the theory. His son is named Mark Oliver Everett, who's the musician, who's the front man of the band The Eels. He's very talented. But yeah, Hugh Everett III came up with that theory, and that spawned so many so many science fiction movies and that sort of thing. So maybe there are an infinite number of universes populated by different versions of us. And maybe on some level we're actually sort of, you know, in communication with those other versions of ourselves. So, again, I think that's a really interesting theory. But really the theory states that those universes are distinct and discrete, that they don't interact. So once they do split off, there's no interaction between them. Whereas I'm sort of more inclined to think that there is some kind of interaction between those universes. And maybe that interaction is what gives rise not only to such things as quantum spookiness, those kind of baffling quantum effects, but also, you know, paranormal phenomena as well. You know, that's really how I kind of think of these things. And, you know, if we imagine in the case of UFOs or seeing a UFO or a ghost or something like that, it could very much be something that is kind of spilling over into our reality just for a very brief moment. We just kind of managed to capture a glimpse of that, whatever it is, just kind of on the border of this reality. And once again, that relates to the title of my book, Borderland Phenomena, you know, which I think is a very useful kind of metaphor to try and understand these things. So, yeah.
I think the first time I heard of the idea of like an alternate universe where there's another version of yourself is in, well, I'm going to say it, Star Trek. This was back in late 60s, an episode called Mirror, Mirror. And so what you had is the usual Kirk and McCoy and Spock, and then you had their evil twin doublegangers, and they get mixed up in the transporter somehow. And find themselves in these completely opposite parallel worlds.
Right. Yep. Okay. I haven't seen that particular episode, I must say, but I know that there's been episodes of I think even The Simpsons and Family Guy where they've kind of explored those theories of other dimensions and, you know, other versions of ourselves, etc. Yeah. No, it's very, very interesting theory. You know, once again, I guess, who knows, but
yeah, well, it's been around for a while. I mean, the idea definitely has been around for a while, so it's funny how things in science fiction tend to become science reality over time, too. It's almost like some sort of manifest destiny in a way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Down there, it's you're in exactly the opposite. You're in the winter months, aren't you, down there right now? Or do you get winter? Do you get snow in Tasmania?
Yeah, look, it does get pretty cold down here. It'll be autumn at the moment, and I guess we're sort of heading into winter now. So, yeah, it's getting pretty chilly, and it's kind of of course, there's the mainland, and then there's Tasmania below. So it's just a little island, and we're just separated by the Bass Strait, of course. But yeah, we do have like distinct, you know, seasons here: spring, summer, autumn, winter. On the mainland, of course, I mean, there's parts of Australia where, you know, if you go up north, for example, you know, Northern Territory, it's really just two seasons. You know, they have like the wet and the dry. So some very, very hot tropical parts of Australia. It's generally a very dry place. Tasmania is really the only part where I suppose it's a lot cooler, a lot greener, etc. We don't have as many bushfires and that sort of thing. And that's part of the reason I like Tasmania so much. I guess it's kind of maybe a little bit more like Europe, you know, so it's really quite different to the rest of Australia.
You'll be coming up to Florida in the summer for
That's it. Yeah, no, it's going to be very hot, I imagine. And it's interesting too, so I'll be there in July, which is actually the same month that, you know, funnily enough, that Mary Hardy Reese died. That would have been the 1st or 2nd of July. I'm going to be there, you know, in sort of late July. But nonetheless, there's another little very kind of strange coincidence. You know, I never thought that I was necessarily going to be making the trip. And I didn't know it would happen at that time of the year, of course. So once again, maybe there's evidence there that, you know, you focus on these things, they kind of do kind of manifest in your own life, if you like. You know, you kind of attract these things to you. Hopefully I don't succumb to SHC when I...
Yeah, as long as none of us starts bursting into flames, we'll be good.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a pretty interesting discussion. If you had to add it all up in your own mind right now, what's it all about, do you think?
Right. Okay. So, this seems to be kind of a philosophical sort of question.
Absolutely.
Well, I think it's all about, you know, it revolves around, you know, the mystery of the human psyche, if you like, you know, the human soul, the human mind. You know, that's really the ultimate mystery, you know, why are we here, etc. You know, what are we doing in this world? So I always kind of come back to that. You know, and I reflect on my own life, for example. you know, so I think really that's the most important thing. It's about, you know, just trying to understand yourself, really, you know, and trying to maintain good relationships with friends and family members. You know, so, you know, I know it probably sounds a little bit corny, but I think it all comes back to, you know, loving your fellow man, et cetera. You know, that's how I look at it. And that's really the only thing that's kind of real. You know, you got to focus, well, what is actually real? What remains? Or, you know, everything else is kind of superficial, but that's the one thing that will always remain is, you know, the love between people, et cetera. So that sounds a little bit corny, but, you know.
Not to me it doesn't, not at all, yeah. Because really that's kind of what it's all about for us as human beings, creatures of consciousness in this realm, whatever it, no matter what it is, it's real to us. And
exactly.
Without other people and beings to recognize us and to relate to, it would be a pretty empty and meaningless world, that's for sure.
Exactly. So, you know, you just in an everyday situation, I mean, there's moments where you can, you know, you can be kind to people, kind to other beings. I mean, I try to not kill insects, for example. You know, just little things like that. I think those are the things that kind of really matter at the end of the day, you know. So, you could say it's about love and, you know, as I said, that kind of connection between people. That's a beautiful thing.
We have another connection, guys, in our final segment. Lewis, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of My Pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
I've got to talk about that robotic attitude of Randall this week. Strange, strange indeed. You know, we have so many mysteries here, Lewis Proud. And obviously you're dealing with more of them in your next book if you have a rescuer. And that is, which you probably would need, as I would need, the way it is now. I was going to ask you here, do you think any of these mysteries, is there any chance, the slightest chance, will have a solution at hand?
That's a good question. I think that certainly more money needs to be spent on, parapsychological research. And I think it's a real tragedy that that's not the case. So I kind of feel that maybe – so scientists are really kind of very much focused on the physical, material aspects of reality, if you like. Things like out-of-body experiences and ESP and poltergeist, et cetera. Those sorts of topics don't really seem to be getting much attention these days, which I think is a great shame. They probably got more attention, back in the 70s. Even when people like Uri Geller, for example, were being studied by scientists. I mean, he was studied at SRI, Stanford Research Institute, et cetera. And there was kind of a big boom in parapsychology, a lot of interest by the public on those sorts of topics. And these days, that doesn't really seem to be the case. I think maybe we're kind of drifting away a little bit. Maybe in a very different kind of direction, we're more focused on developing robots and, artificial intelligence, etc. But maybe as a result of exploring those sorts of things, maybe once again it will force scientists to, sort of really look at the mystery of human consciousness, the mystery of the human psyche and that sort of thing. So maybe we will kind of come back around and look at those things again. So that's really my hope. I hope that we do come back to that same place because I think we're kind of maybe going a little bit backwards at the moment.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. In fact, that is taking place right now with the move in towards artificial intelligence. When they're looking at AI, the whole question is whether or not intelligence equates to consciousness.
Yeah.
And there doesn't seem to be any link between the two that we can say for sure. Just because a machine can exhibit intelligence doesn't necessarily mean that it has any experience of the world the way that we experience the world.
Yeah, absolutely. The one thing I don't understand is, transhumanists, they have this idea that, if we can copy a person's mind, then we can essentially, or rather that person can become immortal in a sense, right? But all you're doing is you're copying that person's mind. It's not actually going to be the person themselves, you know? So they have this idea that you can sort of, the brain is basically a form of digital kind of activity, or rather it can be reduced to, you know, just ones and zeros. And then you can kind of upload that person's, or download that person's consciousness, or rather upload really that person's consciousness into another body, which I think is a pretty crazy idea. I whatever that person was, the energy, the psyche, the soul, or whatever was there, is presumably it has since passed on. It's gone either crossed over to another dimension or whatever. So really you're just creating a digital copy of that person. So maybe this is kind of something that they will realize eventually. They'll try and copy people. They'll realize it's not really the person that's there, that there is something independent of that, that is immortal, that it can't necessarily be reduced to a stream of ones and zeros.
Yeah. Or maybe it's not immortal. And it just happens to be the case that the way that our body and our brain is made, that it's the only way that we get consciousness out of it. In other words, say something like you could make, let's say, an electromagnet. Okay, we can use windings and copper and electricity. All of that stuff comes together and you get a magnetic field. But if you try to make exactly the same thing out of some other material, like, say, wood or plastic, it won't happen. It can look. You could make it so it looks exactly the same, but it won't work because it's made out of different materials. Maybe that's just the case, that the only way that we get consciousness to emerge out of a human brain is to have a human brain. And semiconductors and transistors just won't cut it. We might be able to get, like you say, all of that digital stuff. You know, it might be a good copy, some sort of a facsimile, but whether or not it can have the kind of experience that we have as real, the original human beings, we don't know. And until we can answer that, I don't think it's safe. I have to completely agree with you. I don't think it's safe to assume that we can upload ourselves into some sort of a mainframe.
Well, you know, that's certainly obviate some of those science fiction concepts, but maybe the human brain is like a customized container for this consciousness, and you need the right container, just like you need the right box for some kind of electronic product. You need the right kind of case for it to work properly. You need the right kind of brain, and if you don't have the right kind of brain, then it will not happen. You have to basically somehow duplicate in form and function the human brain, even if by 3D printing or something, whatever it is, and then maybe, just maybe, you can transfer your consciousness. But, of course, what some science fiction novels do is they transfer consciousness to a clone. Or they become duplicates of the original, and you don't want to go and risk your life going to another planet, so you send your clone, and you download your intelligence to the clone. It comes through the experience, and it returns at some point in time and uploads it back to you.
But then what you would get, you would still be you, wherever you are. What you might be able to do, they might be able to transfer memory so that you would have a memory of an experience of something else or someone else. That might be possible. But to actually transfer you, Gene, as a person, as your living experience in this world to something else, that's still something that's, I think, way beyond what people in AI are working towards. What do you think about that, Lewis? Same thing? I think we're all on the same page there.
So we're on the same page. Yes. Okay, you can create a copy of someone, maybe that's indistinguishable from that actual living person, but nonetheless, it's not them, and they're not going to be having the same experience. Maybe they're not really going to have any kind of experience at all. There really is no kind of consciousness present. We're just sort of seeing a kind of program kind of act itself out, if you like. But yeah, I mean, that all comes back to the question of artificial intelligence. And, you know, I mean, could there be some kind of form of artificial intelligence that is so sophisticated that there is some kind of consciousness present, you know, as in the case of a person? You know, I mean, who knows? It's We have yet to see what will actually happen, where that research will go, what kind of direction or form it will take.
Lewis Proud, tell our listeners if they want to find more about what you do, where do they go?
Okay, yep. So I've got a blog, which is louisproud.net. Also, I've got an Amazon page, and I'm on Twitter as well, which is louisproud2. Yeah, and you can find my books, of course, through Amazon and all good online bookstores. Yeah, and certainly people can contact me via my blog if they want to, if they have a paranormal experience, for example, that they want to tell me about. So lots of stuff out there, and interviews on YouTube, etc. So lots of stuff out there about my work. Yeah,
you can find us on Twitter. Look for the Paracast. Look for the official Paracast channel on YouTube. Look for Paracast fan clubs on Facebook. Look for the Paracast.store for branded merchandise. Go to plus.theparacast.com for the special premium version of this show, free of the network ads, enhanced audio, and the exclusive After the Paracast podcast, where we have continuing interviews, special discussions, exclusive interviews. We feature William Puckett, UFO researcher, atmospheric scientist with new cases each week. Last week, he was talking about a new set, possible new set of MJ-12 documents. Fascinating. Only on After the Paracast. Check plus.theparacast.com. Lewis Proud, thank you so much for joining us on the Paracast.
You're welcome. Thanks so much for having me. It's been a very interesting discussion, so I've really, really enjoyed it. So, thank you once again.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.